something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. And I had the opportunity to talk to one of Hollywood's major icons, Michael B. Jordan. In our conversation, Michael shares the highs, the lows, and everything in between, offering a genuine glimpse into his world.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. People give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Imagine you ask two people the same seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season three of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.
Hello, from Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. We've always been intrigued by stories of disappearances, whether it's a fraudster from the 17th century who kept evading the authorities, or a novelist who taunted the Nazis and faked her own death. We all want to know, what happened next? To find out, listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is He Said, Ella Dijo, with Eric Winter and Rosalind Sanchez.
Hey.
Hello.
How are you, mister?
Good. Good to be back in LA.
Welcome back to America.
Welcome back to America. It sounds so dramatic, but it's true.
How do you feel about being back?
It's great. Listen, I love being over in Europe. We were in Spain, obviously, spent there, supporting you for the Latin Grammys, and then went on a little bit of a family vacation. And you know what? It's weird. It's like I always toy with the idea, could I live in Europe? Could I just move there?
Yes.
Really?
Oh my God. Tomorrow.
And just live there.
Tomorrow.
And that's it.
In Madrid, like tomorrow. It's a lot of people.
It's a very different pace.
It's packed. It's the nightlife. It's not even a nightlife. All day long. They are out and about. It's like a beautiful version of Manhattan.
Going. They don't get going until like 9 o'clock at night. Then from 9 to one in the morning, then it's just jam packed.
Everybody thought that we were boring.
Dinners don't start until
8:30, 9. Yeah. We will go to restaurants, the few of them that are open by 7:30, and we're the first ones there. It's completely empty. We're pain, and that's when it starts getting busy.
But here's the thing: it's an easy thing to say, "Oh, I can move there in a heartbeat." Do you realize if you completely had to start over in another country, any country, whether you love it or not, it's one thing to be on vacation and explore it.
No, but
beautiful.
I'll go with a job. I'll have to relocate with a job.
That's relocating for the job. I'm talking about moving your life there, kids and school.
No, but I will move my life if I know that I have a job that potentially is going to be ongoing. No, like I'm just going to move and adventure at 50 years old and see if I can land something. If I get called to do a job that I know all the, is a good package, you know, and it looks promising, but I'll be like, let's take the leap of faith and let's go.
I would basically be a stay-at-home dad. I wouldn't be able to do anything.
No, you'll work.
Well, I'm not going to work in Spain.
Because you're famous in Spain.
But I'm not going to be able to work in
Spain. We have discovered that Eric is more famous in Spain than even the United States of America. You are. So you're going to get a job.
There are a lot of rookie supporters in Europe, which
is
great.
You'll get a job really fast.
It, acting there is in Spanish. Is
that then
English?
Learn the language.
Oh my God. I can't just move there.
You'll be fine.
It's not that easy.
You'll be fine.
I love the idea of living in Europe, but I think it'd be very
You'll become
tough.
A model and you'll make a lot of money.
Wow. So you can just pursue your acting dreams there.
Correct.
Let me tell you something that's funny. It was a bit of a circus though at one point because you travel so heavy with so many things. You had four bags of luggage.
Yeah. I was hosting the Latin Grammys.
But instead of sending anything back home, we decided to go take a train.
I did send the entire wardrobe for the Grammys back home.
You still outside the wardrobe for the Grammys, just for your personal wardrobe, had 3.5 bags.
I had an outfit picked for every day.
But you don't
need
that.
One for lunch, one for dinner.
You don't need that when you travel. No. We got on a train in Sevilla. Rosalind's first time on a train in Europe. Kid's first time. Not
It was a little deflating.
No, it wasn't deflating.
Scenery was just okay.
Well, yes, that wasn't the most, gorgeous countryside on a train. But we get on the thing. She's like, there's a first class cabin, da, da, da. And I go, okay, I got this cabin. It just gives you a little more space, which is fine.
It's very convenient though.
Pieces of luggage between the five of us. Nine pieces of luggage. And we get there and people are with like one carry-on, one bag. And we are a train, like a conveyor belt, playing luggage on the train, luggage on the train. Then we get there and it's only overhead shelves to put massive
and
bags of
small.
Luggage. So the heater's blasting in this train. Rosin's already uncomfortable questioning the whole experience about why we're on the train. I'm bench pressing, basically, shoulder pressing, all of these bags over I'm sweating because I'm trying to do it in a hurry. Everybody's asking me 1,000 questions about the seat, about this. I mean, my family and Roz, everybody's asking me all. And meanwhile, I'm trying to get out of the way of people coming on, putting bag after bag after, all this stuff. Rosalind, you have that look on your face that you get sometimes where the eyelids go really low, like we've talked about in the podcast, where you're just questioning everything that's going on.
Yeah, because I'm like, what am I doing inside this train? I'm claustrophobic. The heater is on. I was about to have a panic attack.
I'm sweaty.
I kept it cool because I knew you were going crazy. So I was like, let me just walk outside and just stand by the door until the last minute so I don't have a freak out. And I didn't. I was very proud of myself.
I think because you finally realized how difficult what I was going through was.
It was
then
crazy.
I get everything there. I'm sweating. She goes, you should probably step outside. I said, yeah, I'm going to step outside. I need to cool off. I'm dying. I get back in and she goes, oh, Eric, there's luggage racks over there. You could have put the big bags down below.
And there was a whole area for luggage that we didn't identify.
And I had to take back down five pieces of luggage, roll them over there.
It was crazy. But we met a very nice, very nice family that we exchanged numbers. And whenever we go back to Madrid, we have people that we can call. We met friends, Nacho. We met friends in Madrid. So yeah, we're moving to Madrid. I was like relentless trying to convince Sabella to do college in Europe. I said, Sabella,
just do a year.
I said, just do something. Sabella, don't stay here. Just go travel
abroad. She's
12.
She's not thinking about that.
I know,
right now.
But I want to plant the seeds so she lives a life and she learns about cultures and countries and history.
Yeah, but then she sells it, Rosalind, and goes, listen, Spain is amazing. The people are so nice. It's lovely. Sabella, you're going to love it here. They're going to embrace you. And then she takes two steps and sees a lady she's asked a question to. And she goes, excuse me, perdona, da, 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 da. And then the person ignores her. She goes, oy, unbelievable. The manners, you're ridiculous. I'm talking to you. How rude are you? Antipatical. Within a second, she's telling Sabella how great everybody is here and how welcoming they are.
That was out of a movie.
And she takes two steps to ask a question to somebody who ignores her and she chews her out in Spanish.
Guys, she ignored me. It was like a security person. I'm telling Sabella, this is the most beautiful place. You have to come here. It's just amazing. It's so welcoming. And then I turn and I go, excuse me, permiso, permiso, permiso. And the lady basically ignores me, keeps walking. And I lost it. And I was like telling her all these things. And she did not turn around. Then Sabella was like, great, mom. This is where you want me to come? And I was like, oh, my God.
Great.
That was too funny. Anyway, so what has happened? Oh, I didn't document this. Latin Grammys went unbelievable, guys, in Sevilla. Sevilla is a thing of beauty. What an incredible city. It was amazing. Thank you, God, for the opportunity. Thank you, Univision. Thank you, Latin Grammys, the Academy. I loved it. Anyways, I didn't document this part, but guys, I don't know what happened. If it was a eye brush, makeup brush with bacteria, if it was stress, lack of sleep, I wasn't
all
eating that
above.
Well. I don't know what it was, but I got not one, not two, but three styes.
Thankfully,
on my right eye.
Thankfully, it started to emerge the night you were hosting, so nobody could see it.
I was hosting with it because I had an antibiotic, like an ointment, and the eyelash was not sticking properly because I was already developing this dye. I was in a little bit of pain, but nobody saw it. Nobody noticed it. I came home like at 3 a.m, washed my face, took a shower, went to bed. I'm going, I'm in pain. Next morning,
she looked like Mike Tyson Mike Tyson's opponent after a fight. Her eye was completely swollen shut.
It was awful. It was awful to the point that I had to go to the hospital in Spain because I was like, I'm going to lose my eyesight.
It was brutal.
I didn't think it was a stye because I've had them before, and this was throbbing pain. I couldn't sleep, and I was convinced I have an eating flesh bacteria, and I came to Spain to die.
That was the thing, is you went completely. We're literally telling you it's a stye. She's like, oh my God, Eric, what if I'm blind by tomorrow? What if my eyesight is going to go because it's a flesh-eating bacteria? And I surprised.
So then I would go out in pain with painkiller, with antibiotics.
Painkillers?
They gave me the painkillers, the anti-inflammatory that I was for pain. And I would wear glasses so people didn't see my face. That part was not fun, but thank you, Lord. It went away within 3 days, and I was able to finish the vacation looking great and not in pain. And the kids and Eric were avoiding me like the plague.
Because they said you were super contagious.
I was super contagious. That part was crazy to me. You know, Dana Paola, the beautiful, my co-host, big Mexican superstar, when I was rehearsing and I wasn't sleeping well, and I'm going, I don't know what's happening with this hotel. I don't know. Like, the hotel is so beautiful, but I'm not sleeping well. And she's one of my girls, and she's like, you know what? Do you have Palo Santo? So you bring Palo Santo, you should always bring Palo Santo. And I said, I don't have it, actually.
What is that?
Palo Santo.
What is that?
Palo Santo is like a, you know, sage. Palo Santo is like a little stick that is called Palo Santo that is a very powerful, it cleanses. It's almost like sage. So people that believe in that, before you stay at a place, you always clean it up with Palo Santo. She's like, the first thing I did when I landed and I go to the hotel, I like cleaned my room with Palo Santo. I'm going to bring you some. I needed some Palo Santo because why the heck will I get three styes in one eye after such a glorious event? Somebody was doing some fool for me.
I don't have an answer for this because I know where this is going to go. Because you used a dirty makeup brush and that's it. There are no fool for
me. It was more than that. It was more than that. Anyways, so yeah, that was amazing.
Now we're back. I started back on The Rookie, filming. First day was yesterday.
How are you feeling?
Season 6.
Are you happy?
Very happy. The strike is over. We're back to work. Can't believe we're going to do episode 100 is our next episode.
Really?
Which is crazy. Wow. Yeah. Milestone.
That's amazing.
It's exciting. Let's do some hot topics.
Hot topics.
So we watched this documentary about the supermodels. Remember Linda Evangelista and Cindy Crawford and all that, which is really cool. Now, she admits now she's not interested in dating. I don't even want to hear someone breathing. So some strong words. What do you, how do you feel about that? Saying she's over it when it comes to
love.
When
was the last time she dated? Let's see. She's 58 years old, Canadian. Yeah. And yeah,
through a difficult, you know, they talked about in that documentary with the guy she was with, the agent who was a disaster with her. Remember, he was abusive and cheating on her and all that kind of stuff. And I think it probably left a very bad taste in her mouth of what men can be in a relationship. But
yeah, but after that, you know, she has a son, 17-year-old son with actually Salma Hayek's current husband.
Oh, really?
Francois.
Is the father of the...
Yeah,
oh,
that's the father. And listen, she got this cool sculpting that unfortunately went wrong. And she
talks about all that. Like says that she's deformed. She did a bit of work that destroyed the way she looks.
Yeah, so she's a little bit self-conscious about it. But she doesn't want to date. Listen, at 58 years old, this is a thought starter. If you were single at 58, would you be over it too?
No.
So you'd be more than open?
I'd still be in the game.
Really?
Yeah. You'd be over it?
I think so.
At 58?
Yeah.
It's in 8 years.
Yeah.
In 8 years, if you were single, you'd be done?
I mean, I would maybe date casually or whatever, but like as far as like I need to find a man because I need to remarry or I want to live with somebody, heck no.
Really?
Oh my God. I'll be so happy by myself. Like I don't have to deal with anybody, anything. Wow. I can do whatever the heck I want. It'd be great.
Are you trying to give me a hint? Are you... You look at me really strongly in the eyes as you say that.
No, what I'm saying is I wouldn't have the need unless I find somebody and go, oh my God, I'm head over heels. But at 58, come on, I just want to travel and live life and work and be happy.
Yeah. I mean, I guess that's where we're different for sure.
You would seek love.
I would still seek companionship.
Listen, ask your mom. Your mom divorced her second husband. She's been single since she's what, in her 50s, and she's perfectly fine.
You two are very similar in that way.
I want nothing to do with any man.
You two are very similar in that way.
100%.
I'm more like my dad. My dad
that just married four times?
Kept on going.
He kept on going.
Every
you're
time
right.
he was single, he'd get back in a relationship.
I'm like your mom. I'm going, you know what? I am fine. If something manifests, beautiful. But do I care? No. She reads whenever she wants to read. She plays games in her computer. She helps with the house when we need her. She goes to a coffee shop in peace.
You could do all the Instagram pictures you want.
I can do all the Instagram I want.
Can we talk about some of the pictures that you and Paul were trying to pull off in Europe all the time with these Instagram posts?
We already had a therapy session and we discussed it. How Eric went all out telling the therapist that I was just too self-involved with taking selfies and pictures.
No, I didn't
and
like
I didn't
that.
Pay attention to my family.
I said
family.
Too much Instagram focus.
No, I wasn't.
Every family has skeletons in their closet. Mine certainly does. Ones that go back 100 years and reach thousands of miles back to our hometown in Sicily. Ever since I can remember, my relatives told the story of my great-great-grandmother who was killed by the mafia. I'm Joe Piazza, and in my new podcast, I'm taking on a generational vendetta, visiting the scene of the crime, confronting mafia experts, tracking down Italian officials, and even consulting mediums to set the record straight on my great-great-grandmother's mysterious disappearance. And in between the fact-finding missions, I'll be drinking a lot of wine and eating all of the pasta. Come to Italy with me to solve this 100-year-old murder mystery. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV true crime podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turned sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune into what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here's a hot topic. A Catholic priest has been stripped of his administrative duties after allowing Sabrina Carpenter's Feather music video to be filmed in the Brooklyn church. Huh.
Okay.
There are a lot of things.
But then what happened there? Let's see what happens in the video. Listen to this. She,
in the video, Carpenter
facilitates the death of several obnoxious men who relentlessly hit on her throughout the video. Each of them meet their karma by getting run over by a truck, fighting each other to death, and one is decapitated in an elevator shaft. Carpenter dances around the church of the men's funerals, wearing a short black tulle dress and veil, and posing with religious items at the altar, including a coffin that reads, R.I.P. Bitch.
Yeah, I guess it doesn't really have to happen in the church. I don't know why.
They got paid and they allowed, it was like a location scouting.
I know.
Beautiful church, that's what they wanted. I don't think that priest knew that the content of that video was going to be that.
Probably.
And basically he actually said it. He says, you know what? We removed the holy, how you call it? The sacristia, they removed it. And he was like, you know, I was not present when this was filming. I removed the blessed sacrament, from the church.
Yeah.
The parish staff and I were not aware that anything provocative was occurring in the church. While I take full responsibility for the erroneous decision to allow the filming, I want to assure you that I had no knowledge that such a scene would be filmed in our church. Do you think it's right that he was let go? Fired?
No. I don't think they should fire him. I think he owned up to the mistake. I believe what you're saying, that he didn't have any idea what the video would probably be like. It was a location scouting and they found something, got paid, and they took the money.
And do you think artists should use religious spaces for their art?
I think they should use whatever they want, but I disagree with you. I mean, depends on what they're doing with it. They weren't using the religious space to poo-poo on the religious space. They were doing it, she was mocking the death of her ex, guys that wronged her, which I think is harsh, but it is.
It doesn't matter, Eric. You are inside a sacred space. This is where people worship. The presence of God and angels is supposed to be there. So why would you go in and rent a space that you know is a sacred haven for a lot of people?
Because to that person, she probably is. It's not sacred to her, I'm guessing. Number one, but number two.
Yeah, but it's about respect.
But I agree. I don't think it's necessary that she should, But I think it's up to the people at the church to just say no filming or no filming ever for anything is allowed in this space.
Yeah, but I'm sure unless it's something. Because what if it's a gospel? What if it's a Christian movie? What if it's a gospel music video? I'm not opposed
then
to that.
To
if you're worshiping,
what the content is that you're.
But I think her people, and listen, I'm nothing against Sabrina Carpenter. I think she's a beautiful, talented girl. But you know what? I think artists nowadays, they want to push the envelope much, and they want to be so cool and think so much outside the box and just trying to be provocative for the sake of being provocative. Mm-hmm. If you want to recreate a church, then rent a location, get a phenomenal production designer, and then make it look like a church and go all out and do all your evil, dark bullshit. But when it comes to art, you know, just have some respect for spaces.
No, I agree with that. That's all.
Again, nothing against the girl. I think she's fantastic.
She could have made a better choice. By the way, like you said, they can. If you have enough money to do a music video, just build the set.
Yeah.
Build a space that looks like a church and do whatever you want with it. Now, we shot a scene in The Rookie. I should say this. We shot at a church. I don't know if it was a famous church, but we shot at a church and it was a Bonnie and Clyde bad guy sort of at an altar, and we're shooting and there's guns firing in the church and we're doing all that.
So unnecessary.
That's part of the story point.
Well, tell The Rookie that was unnecessary.
It's a story point.
No, I know, but then rent a space.
They did rent a space and the church let it be used.
I rent a space that is not a church.
But I don't think, again, it wasn't poo-pooing on the religion or taking advantage of the religion or speaking
badly. It's just
no
violence should be inside that place. And listen, the way the world is nowadays, people are killing, they go to synagogues, how you call it? People don't respect anything about anything when it comes to religion and spirituality.
They're killing people anywhere.
People don't care. Like, look at all these kids going to
mass shootings,
Baptist churches and mass shootings. But it doesn't mean that is right. And it doesn't mean that we, for the sake of art, should support it or... You know what I mean?
Yeah, but again, I think we're overthinking.
This is a very heavy topic. I don't want to get backlash over it.
No, I just think we're overthinking it. I think it's about the church having parameters on what can be shot there. And as long as it's not going against the religion, then I don't think it, for any religion, whatever that may be.
I don't know. What about Catherine McPhee and David Foster disagreeing over disciplining their son? His era of parenting is different.
I mean, look, parents just disagree often, I think, on how to discipline children. I think that's something that we have to look at as a whole. It's not that easy for two people to fully agree on how to discipline a kid. There's usually a good cop and a bad cop, or sometimes one person might have more patience, or they, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Now, I'm guessing at his age, and just like how we grew up, kids were spanked and kids were, you know, put in their place much quicker. And that's not the way parenting is often seen nowadays. So I'm guessing that's what a lot of their differences are, no?
I have no idea. They have an age gap of 34 years. You know, he's a dad of 5 adult children. So this is not his first rodeo.
But he also openly talks about not being very active in their lives because he was so busy. He's probably more active in this current kid's life than he was with a lot of his previous kids.
Let me ask you something. Do you think kids don't have the intellectual capacity to understand when you tell them they did something wrong? A kid that is 3 years old, for example. Do you think that kids don't have the intellectual capacity to understand when you tell them that they did something
wrong?
Depends
on the age of the kid. And this is something that it's true. And I never fully understood this because a lot of times you hear this advice, talk to the child, talk to the kid, really try to explain it, right? And you can, but the way that you're logically explaining something that took place to a 4-year-old or a 5-year-old, they're processing it totally different. They can't really comprehend everything you're saying in the way you're trying to put it.
You think?
I don't believe they can. I think they're
pretty smart.
They are very smart, but
not at the level of intellectuality that an adult will have, but they do process things and they observe and they rationalize their own way, and we have to give them credit.
They do, but they're going to take pieces of what you're trying to teach. And I think you can teach it in an elemental way, but I don't think it can be just black and white and going at them with a long explanation of what was good, what was bad, why you can't do this, why you can't do that. They kind of look at you like, uh-huh.
I think they're little computers. I think maybe not the conscious, but at a subconscious level, they absorb and they're computers. The second they breathe when they come out of the womb, It's that computer is activated. I'm sorry.
No, I agree. Look, when they do something wrong, I think you need to explain what the wrong was and try to teach them right from wrong and give them context to what's, you know, happening.
I'm going to tell you something. Dylan just turned 6, and the way Dylan rationalizes things, sometimes it shocks me.
But then sometimes the way he does things, it's a 5 or 6 year old completely. How many times are you going to ask? He's going to ask the same thing over and over. And I said, Dylan, don't ask again. I gave you my answer. When I say no, that's it. They don't know what that means.
It's not that they don't know what that means. They know that they're going to keep pushing it until they get their way.
But if that's wrong.
And they do get their way.
No.
He got his way this morning. I don't want to play piano. I don't want piano. We cancel piano.
Okay. But that's for a number of different reasons as well. But we can't always cave. And when you stand your ground, was my point, is that they're not wrapping their head around the fact, unless you get really firm.
Mm-hmm.
And you basically discipline hardcore. I said no, that's it. Boom. You say it. You ask Gwen, I'm taking this away, or you're punished. Because he'll ask 15 times. So the only way you put a kibosh on that is to come down hard.
So you believe in the foster parenting way?
No, I'm not. I'm just saying that the kids don't rationalize the way that you give them credit that they can put all these pieces together so seamlessly. I know they can be very intellectual and smart for their age, but I don't think it's as clear as when I tell Sabella, enough is enough. That's it. She's 12 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And she'll finally get it. Even though she wants to keep pushing, she knows I need to stop pushing because mm-hmm. I'm going to get in further trouble.
Yeah, but we're talking about discipline now.
Same thing. It's disciplining. It's verbal disciplining. Before, when we were kids, you kept asking, you got a pshh, and that was it.
I never got hit ever in my life.
You got your ear pulled a lot.
I got my ear pulled.
Did you get the belt?
Never.
Did you get a shoe?
I will get the chancleta. I will get the huidara con la chancleta, but the chancleta actually never flew. I don't remember the chancleta ever actually hitting me. Never. It was my dad never gave me the time of day. But my mom was the ear, or not even, just by looking at me, I knew it was over.
I don't think my mom ever spanked me that I remember. My dad spanked. He was the one that spanked. Mm-hmm. I remember my dad trying to slap me one time because I mouthed off, and I was older too. And I was at a restaurant with his girlfriend, and I mouthed off, and he tried to smack me, and I moved, and he knocked over all the glasses on the table.
And he got even more mad.
But he got so mad, but we were in a restaurant, public place, so he had to like contain it. Yeah. But when we were kids, if your parent just looked at you a certain way, you were like, I'm not messing with that anymore.
Or my grandma.
Our kids
my
don't
grandma.
See it like that.
I was more petrified of my grandma. Like, I remember in Naguabo, this little town in Puerto Rico where my parents are from, there was a neighbor. My grandma had the next door neighbor had grandchildren as well, right? This old couple. And Jancy, that was his name. The same name as Jancy, our friend. Jancy.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And Jancy was maybe a year older than me. And we were kind of like friends, acquaintances, mm-hmm. right? But because I would see her during summertime or whenever I visited my grandma, and both my grandma's garage and the other people's garage, it had these squares that we could see to each other's houses that close, right? And we would just be talking or like trying to play. And my grandma was so hyper vigilant of not allowing myself to be alone with this kid, like even when there's a wall separating with squares, right? And I'll be just like laughing, and she'll look at me like, stop laughing right now, or I'm going to smack you, right? And I'll be like, and stop laughing, because she would, oh my God, I'll never forget, not even saying a word. And now I know, by then, she never said to me, I don't want you talking to Jancy, or be careful. Nothing was spoken other than looking at me like, cut it out.
I know one thing is that I wish there was a way to merge the two ways of parenting much more seamlessly, because it's tough. I've tried many times having those nice conversations, talking it through, we don't do that. No, please don't do that. And I go, don't do that. And I just lose my patience, and I explode. Yeah. And I try so hard. I try so hard. And it is difficult.
And then
parenting.
This is Dylan. You know what's so funny? Because I always tell Dylan.
Even Sabella, both of them.
I know, but Dylan, he's so cute. And I have made the mistake of telling him, you know what? You're just lucky that you're so cute. You're so cute, you can get away with anything. You're lucky that you're so cute, right? The other day, I don't know what the heck I said or I did. that I was mad, right? And then he looked at me, he goes like, I'm so lucky that I'm so cute. I died. I was like, oh my God. I wanted to scream, but I just had to laugh because I'm going, this kid is something else. And he said it very cute too. And I'm like, oh my God, I can't.
And
I can't.
And there went your disciplining. That's out the window.
Out the window.
Well,
anyways, well, we're trying.
We'll do better. Love you.
Love you.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to write us a review and tell us what you think.
If you want to follow us on Instagram, check us out at He Said Ella Dijo, or send us an email, ericandross@iheartradio.com. He Said Ella Dijo is part of iHeartRadio's My Cultura podcast network.
See you next time.
Bye.
Tengo diabetes.
Yo, asma. Estamos en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica.
19 años o más con afecciones crónicas como asma, diabetes, EPOC o enfermedad cardíaca, o tienes 65 años o más, estás en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Aunque te hayas vacunado previamente con otras vacunas contra la neumonía, Prevnar 20 puede ayudar a proveer protección adicional. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones de 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Los adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. Los efectos secundarios incluyen dolor e hinchazón en el área de la inyección, fatiga, dolor de cabeza, dolor muscular y en las coyunturas. Para obtener la información para la prescripción completa, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. And I had the opportunity to talk to one of Hollywood's major icons, Michael B. Jordan. In our conversation, Michael shares the highs, the lows, and everything in between, offering a genuine glimpse into his world.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. People give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Imagine you ask two people the same seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season three of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Seven questions, limitless answers.